Before our scripture today, we are going to join all together in our prayer for illumination. O God, we would be servants of your gospel. By your grace, through the power of your Holy Spirit, reveal to us your wisdom in its rich variety. Speak to us in your word and read and proclaimed, that hearing we may in turn share with others the boundless riches of Christ, that everyone might come to see your plan for all creation. In Christ Jesus our Lord, we pray. Amen. Our scripture comes from the book of Ephesians, chapter 3, verses 1 through 13. This is the reason that I, Paul, am a prisoner for Christ Jesus for the sake of you Gentiles. For surely you have already heard of the commission of God's grace that was given for me for you, and the mystery that was made known to me by the revelation, as I wrote above in a few words, a reading of which will enable you to perceive my understanding of the mystery of Christ. In former generations, this mystery was not made known to humankind, as it now has been revealed in holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. That is, the Gentiles have become fellow heirs, members of the same body, and sharers in the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel, I have become a servant according to the gift of God's grace that was given me the working of his power. Although I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to me, to the Gentiles, the news of the boundless riches of Christ, and to make everyone see what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things, so that through the church, the wisdom of God, in its rich variety, might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in heavenly places. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose that is carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have access to God in boldness and confidence through faith in him. I pray, therefore, that you may not lose heart over my sufferings for you. They are your glory. The word of God for the people of God.
I thank our brother in Christ, Jason Smith, for helping us to continue in the spirit of worship. Thank you, my friend. Would you join with me in prayer? Loving God, we thank you for speaking into our lives. And that means you continue to create in us. What that is really varies, because your grace approaches each of us individually and intimately. Thank you for that truth. Thank you for helping us to continue to be open to how you speak into our lives and guide us. It's in the name of Christ, our risen Savior, that we pray. Amen. Some mysteries I have been pondering. And maybe you've pondered the same things. Why, when it's very clear that on a remote control, is everybody aware of what a remote control is? Women aren't aware of what a remote control is. Thank you, sweetheart. Thank you. A remote control, whenever you have it, and you know that the battery is dead, pushing harder somehow squeezes a little bit more energy out. Has anybody ever done that? You kind of push harder. Okay, it's got to work. It's got to have just a little bit more energy. Another mystery. Why in the world would you take a kitchen utensil, chop wood with it, and then slice a tomato automatically? You ever seen that commercial? Just chopping on. I thought, whoever goes out and trims their trees in the front yard then says, hey, I'm going to make a salad. Anybody up for it? An even greater mystery. Why does God love me? We each ask that ourselves. Why does God love me? We've had that prayer, I'm sure. I know I have. And that leads to other questions. Why does God love that person? how is God calling me? If God loves me, is that it? Or is there something more that I'm called to be about? Because of God's love, do I now have more meaning in my life, more purpose? Is there something that's going on inside of me that's beyond definition, maybe even my awareness, but nonetheless is still happening and is still a reality, because God is the greatest reality that we'll ever have, and the basis for our reality and who we are. Paul started out to the early church reminding them that his reality, his very being, was based on his relationship with God through Christ. It was because of God at work in his life through Jesus Christ that he literally had a new name. And now he was bound to God. He was no longer under the thumb or rule of any earthly ruler or leader, but rather he was attuned to God, and he was responsible to God. But it wasn't in a way that was negative or judgmental. It was in a way of hope, because since God loved him so fully, even him, a great sinner, and he says that, he was willing to be a servant in the name of Jesus Christ. He was willing to get out from himself, to step out from his comfort zone, and be willing to trust where God led him. Now that gets back to the mystery. Because let's face it, sometimes whenever we step out of our comfort zone, whatever that may be, sometimes whenever we step out of our comfort zone, we wonder in the back of our minds, is this God leading me, or is this my own plan? Then sometimes we also wonder, in that other place in the back of our minds, is God's love going to be enough to sustain me through this journey, through this call, what he is putting in front of me, what God is asking me to be about? The answer to whether or not there will be enough of God's love available for you is always, always, always yes. Will there be enough of God's love available for you? Yes. Some of you sound like you don't believe that. The answer is yes. The other answer, the other reality, although we don't always understand it, that gets back into the whole mystery of how God works. We might not be able to wrap our minds around it, be able to understand it completely. But that's a bit of what Paul was talking about as well. And that this love is available for other people. And there's enough of God's love for other people, even those people that we wonder about and wonder if God could really love. There's enough love for them as well. In other words, God's love is not going to run out. Okay, I got God's love, so I gotta hold on to it, because, you know, God is finite and God's going to run out of love, and God may turn away from me. Now, as I've spoken those things, they may sound somewhat absurd, but many of us have thought them in one way or another deep down inside. That most intimate, hidden place. If God's love never runs out and is unending, and God is infinite, not limited, then that means that we are also going to be called as part of what is taking place in God's creation. We are going to be an integral part of it. And Paul was also seeking to encourage the early church in his words. Those words encourage us as well. As they spoke to the church at Ephesus, those gathering of believers, it wasn't even close to what we have right now. They also speak to the gathering of believers at Gila Mountain, in this place, in this space. for whatever reason you're here today, for whatever brought you here today, a truth can be shared that you can hold on to for the rest of your life. God has a call in your life as well. Sometimes people think about call as, okay, the person who's ordained, the person who's up front talking, sharing. But a call is something that God has upon each and every one of our lives. And I think that's also very mysterious. And it's especially mysterious and maybe even unbelievable, that first moment that we wake up in the morning. Are you your best right whenever you wake up and get out of bed? Do you look your best? Think about how you looked in the mirror today whenever you first saw yourself. And you looked at that, and that visage was coming back at you, and you thought, really? Well, you're a child of God. And God is also speaking into your life. And so God doesn't do things just for no reason. What is God's call in your life? Paul knew his call was to share the good news with the entire world. And a main focus of his ministry was to share it with the Gentiles, the non-Jews, to try to bring in more and more people to the circle of faith, to the family of God, as brothers and sisters in Christ. Sounds good, doesn't it? That's really what we're called to be about, inviting and welcoming each and every person that comes through those doors. Because that has to be. That has to be. Whoever comes through those doors has to be welcomed with hospitality and love as a child of God. Paul was speaking that, in essence, to the early believers. And we hear that word again today. God strengthens us and enables us to be able to do that work, and sometimes we don't necessarily even see it coming or understand how it's going to take place. But we do know that there are boundless riches through Christ. Christ is not just crucified, he's risen. And that means unending forgiveness, unending healing, unending compassion, and unending love. No one is outside the reach of Christ's mercies. No one. Epiphany Sunday. This Sunday, when we celebrate God speaking into our lives, the aha moment, the light bulb going on over the head. You ever have one of those? The light bulb, the aha. Yes, now I see how you're at work, God. Okay, now I see. I didn't notice it at first. There were times whenever I was kind of walking along feeling my way, but now, yeah, I understand how you're at work. To me, that's what Epiphany is. I like my brother's definition, but it's kind of like us being able to see God more clearly at work in our journey. For us, we understand that God's power is at work in us, changing us. Paul spoke about mystery and a mystery revealed to him. But I believe that the mystery continues. We won't always understand how God works. I don't think that we also need to necessarily know and understand that completely, to trust. Trusting is a matter of faith, and stepping forward and saying, God, you know, if it's up to Neil, I'm going to screw it up every time. So I'm going to leave it up to you, and I'm going to trust you, and I'm going to count on you. And I know that you're at work in my life. Somehow, some way. Is that an honest prayer? Yes. Is that a prayer that speaks to the truth of God? Yes. Because even when we don't see it, or even when we don't notice it, God is present. Those epiphany moments are wonderful. Believe me, they're blessings. Whenever we talk to somebody and we hear about how something that we prayed for came to fruition, I mean, and it was God's grace, and there was healing, and there was power in that, and we're just stunned, and that's one of the greatest joys of being a pastor for me, truly. Having others speak to me of how God surprises them in their life. That's a great joy. I'm not necessarily surprised anymore, but I'm blessed. Speechless, believe it or not. And maybe understanding a little bit more of the mysterious ways of God. I don't need to understand it completely. I just need to know that God is at work, and I can trust that always. Epiphany is also a time in which we are reminded that God speaks to us in all sorts of ways, not in just ways that we would define and try to control. Because remember, we don't have a God who's in a box. We have a God who is at work beyond our understanding. And so how God speaks to us of his goodness and love is sometimes in a very familiar way. And this morning, at the table, the communion table, we understand that God speaks of his love. And as you come forward and receive these gifts of grace this morning, I want you to literally think about tasting God's goodness. A sacrament, Frederick Buechner writes in Wishful Thinking, A Seeker's ABC, is when something holy happens. Communion is a sacrament. Something holy happens when you are apt to catch a glimpse of the almost unbearable preciousness and mystery of life. Needless to say, church isn't the only place where the holy happens. Sacramental moments can occur at any moment, at any place, and to anybody. End quote. In the liturgy of communion, and I ask the communion stewards, those who will be serving communion, to come forward at this time and prepare yourselves to offer this sacrament. In the liturgy of communion, in our hymnal, it offers the following words. And I thought this was appropriate as we speak about mystery, God unfolding, God revealing God's self to us. And so in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. And these are the words that people share together. Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Share those with me. Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. It's experiencing the holy is an epiphany, an awareness of God's love and presence in our lives. This is the body of Christ broken for the people of God. We are the body of Christ to be shared with the world. This is offered to each and every one of us at this table that is open to all, this table of grace. And the cup that is poured out for us, that reminds us that if we taste of this goodness as well, we are forgiven people. Those who are loved even before we knew it. And this speaks of the blood of Christ shed for the people of God for forgiveness of our sins, for wholeness, for newness, the blood of Christ shed for us, the people of God. all are welcome to receive these elements once again. I also have gluten-free wafers at the station that I will be at. Please come forward after the communion stewards have been served under the direction of our ushers.